This is Jim Engster. Thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana. And a special treat, we're about to hear from Grammy Award-winning artist Sheryl Crow, along with Dr. Carla Albright. October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and while most women are aware that family history plays a large part in whether or not a woman will develop breast cancer, there are other factors, too. And Sheryl Crow is a survivor. She is lending her voice to help educate women on why they need to make breast cancer screening a priority, and she is joining us along with Dr. Carla Albright. Sheryl, you were diagnosed in 2006, and how has that shaped your life since?
Well, it shaped it in almost every way possible. I think almost anyone will tell you that when you're diagnosed with something that's so much of a game changer, like a life-threatening illness, it sort of stops you in your tracks, and you kind of reevaluate what your life is going to look like from that moment forward. And it certainly did that for me, and it also gave me this dubious honor of being a spokesperson for survivorship, and how do we get to that place of survivorship. And in my estimation, until there's a cure, early detection is our best weapon. And as the technology improves and as the information becomes broader and broader, we're learning more and more about dense breasts, which is what we're talking about today. I have dense breasts, and it really does increase your risk for cancer when you have breasts that are dense like mine. It also makes detection more difficult. But now that we have a 3D mammogram screening, we're able to continue on with being able to detect cancers earlier.
You went through this process, of course, in the public eye, which adds a new layer of complexity. How was that experience?
Well, you know, for me, because I'm such a private person, there was a moment in which case I felt like humanity was, you know, certainly not my friend. You know, I just felt like, why would you want to get a glimpse of somebody at their lowest moment? But unfortunately, that's what tabloids do, and that's what sells magazines, and that does not represent mankind. You basically pick yourself up and dust yourself off, and you find strength from all these challenges. And with that, it sort of armed me with what I feel like is a real urgency about talking to women about what we know and how we can be on the surviving end as opposed to being faced with something more challenging based on not getting a mammogram.
And this breast density that you're speaking of, you believe that this is critical as far as potential diagnosis. I bet you had no idea before you became a survivor.
Well, I didn't. There wasn't a lot of discussion about dense breasts. I knew I had dense breasts, but no one spoke to me or was even really discussing it at that time back 12 years ago, what that would mean. And we're learning more. Obviously, we still don't have a cure, so we're continuing to learn more and more. And we see now what that implication can mean. When I was diagnosed, with a conventional mammogram. Now we have 3D, which gives us a much more acute look at breast tissue. I think Dr. Albright can speak more to what it means to have dense breasts and what that can mean to a diagnosis.
Well, Dr. Albright, this is your specialty, and can you give us the Cliff Notes version of what breast density means?
Absolutely. So breasts are composed of fatty tissue, fibrous, and glandular tissue. And density simply means that there's a higher amount of fibrous and glandular tissue in a woman's breast. And unfortunately, 50% of women, 40 to 74, have dense breasts, and we're not aware. The only way we can figure this out is by actually having a mammogram. And based on the mammogram, if the tissue is more dense, unfortunately, it shows up white on the mammography, and a cancer does as well. So that can make it more difficult to detect a lesion. So this is why knowing your density and having a 3D mammogram is critically important.
How often should women have a mammogram?
I personally believe that women should be screened annually beginning at age 40.
And Sheryl, were you getting regular mammograms when you were diagnosed?
I was, and I was like every other woman, where I would just be filled with dread. I didn't want to go, super busy, oh, it's going to hurt, I don't want to find out. And those are really the excuses that women generally adhere to before going and getting a mammogram. And this is really my message, is Do not wait. Our technology is so much better, particularly with the Hologic 3D, which has this thing called Smart Curve so that the mammogram doesn't actually hurt, it doesn't pinch. And it can really make a difference between a minimal prognosis, a minimal treatment, as opposed to something much more challenging. Early detection is our best weapon, and it can be a blip on the radar, which is what it was for me.
How big of a jolt was it when you were told you had cancer?
Well, it's a jolt for anyone. For me, I immediately was thinking, look, I eat well. I am a small, fit person. I'm on the health tip. Why in the world? I have no family history. Why in the world would I have breast cancer? And that is my message. It doesn't necessarily mean that everything's lining up and so you're going to have breast cancer. It can strike anyone. I do have dense breasts, and that might have been a factor. But I'm always encouraging women to make sure and know the training of your breasts. Know if you have dense breasts. Know your family history, if there's any genetic implications. And be diligent. Start at age 40 and be early.
Well, you are a survivor of 12 years, but I suspect you think about this every day. And the comeback has been a process, hasn't it?
I don't think about it every day. I think most cancer survivors do not think about it every day. They use that moment to propel them forward, and they live their lives. And there's a moment in which you get your mammogram and you wait for the results, and those moments in between can feel like 10 years. Mm-hmm. And with what we know now, generally, I don't know the statistic, and Dr. Albright would, but I imagine that there are... I don't know. I know that mine is not going to come back as cancer, but why risk it by not getting a mammogram?
And for listeners who would like more information beyond our discussion today, what are the best places to go?
Genius3dnearme.com is our excellent website where you can learn all kinds of information, but you can also put in your zip code and find the closest Genius3D mammography. At this point, everyone deserves to have the best information going forward. And certainly for us that have dense breasts, that is the best technology that is out there.
Dr. Albright, how many women on a percentage basis over 40 actually go each year and have mammograms?
Well, I'm not sure if I know of a specific number, Jim, but I'm hoping that most women do. It's, you know, we have different governing bodies that have different opinions about when women should start. Usually somewhere between 40 to 45. And so I personally encourage women at age 40 because I've seen stories like Cheryl's where they go for their first screening mammogram and they unfortunately have a cancer, albeit early, but still that's not a diagnosis that I would ever wanted to discuss with women. So I spend my days encouraging women to have the screening because you don't just need family history. Really all you need are breasts. That's what we have, and that's our risk factor for breast cancer. I also want to put in a quick plug that I'm from a native of New Orleans, Louisiana. So I want all of my Louisiana women out there to listen to what we're saying here in Breast Cancer Month, Awareness Month, and go and make sure that they get their screening. Don't hide behind the fear. Make sure you get it done.
Well, October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and we thank Dr. Carla Albright of New Orleans and Cheryl Crow of Kennett, Missouri, for joining us. And Cheryl, before we go, how big of a thrill was it to perform at the White House a few years ago?
Oh, my goodness, I've been very fortunate. You know, I've performed with some of my biggest heroes, and certainly as a small-town girl growing up, I would never have imagined I would ever meet a president or stand in the White House. So all these moments are, you know, I give the glory to God and am grateful every day that I've had the life I've had, bumps and all.
Well, thank you, Cheryl Crow, and thank you to Carla Albright for your information today. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jim.
And Cheryl Crow is, of course, one of the biggest stars in the galaxy. Cheryl Suzanne Crow, graduate of University of Missouri in 1984, went to Los Angeles, and 10 years later was named Best New Artist and got the Grammy for Record of the Year for All I Want to Do. She is a 5-time Grammy recipient, and a lot of performers go through their careers, big performers, never winning a Grammy, but she's won 5 of them. And in 2011, Sheryl Crow was invited to the White House to perform for President Obama and the First Lady and Michelle. And it was quite a performance. Here's a sampling of Sheryl Crow at the White House 7 years ago.
If you see me walking down the street and I start to cry,